Welcome to the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. The ultimate insider's guide from signing day to the national championship game and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast.
The 2018 24/7 Sports College Football Podcast season preview series has been an absolute smash hit. We want to thank all of you for smashing that subscribe button, for downloading the episodes, and for letting us know what you like. We are continuing our over-under win totals, and today we bring our attention to the Big Ten. 14-team conference, big episode ahead, Barton. Did you hydrate today?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I got my coffee in me. I'm energized. I got a direct message from a buddy who I hadn't talked to since high school, who was like, who was excited that he found Washington State under 7.5 online somewhere out there
at a local establishment.
That one.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that people are out there taking our picks to heart. And I think we got some good ones here in the Big Ten today.
Okay. I told you that there was rumors of a remix. Are you ready for the remix?
Oh, if it gets me any more hype than the last one, then I'll blow a gasket. Okay. Bring it to me. As much as I think it's the under
count
is a safe
up.
Play, like, I can't even.
Count them up. Count them up. How many games are going to win this fall?
I can't fathom eight wins.
How many games are going to win this fall?
I just can't. I don't see it. It's not on there.
It's not
the schedule I'm looking at. Unless there's another schedule somewhere.
I thought it was a great line, man. I thought it was a really, really good line. So when I was editing the – that was from that was a live hit from the ACC win totals. And if you haven't gone back to listen to that, please do. I just had to clip it, man. It was good.
Hey, man, bring it. Bring it. I like it. I like it.
I don't see it. I can't. I don't know where it is. Unless there's another one. All right. We start at the top like we have been doing with the Ohio State Buckeyes, a number that we really get to sink our teeth into at 10.5. The thing that we discussed before is that we were going – we're trying to stand by our principles, be men of purpose, men of principles. If we decide that a game is going to go one way for one team, then we've got to stand by it when we decide to extrapolate it out. Which, all that to say, man, at 10.5, Ohio State, with the success that they've had in recent years and with the talent on this roster, going in blind, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, Ohio State's probably going to go 11-1. I don't know if they'll get into the college football playoff. But Barton, man, I found myself, again, trying to be a man of principle. I'm going under.
I'm going under also.
Wow.
Two unders. Yeah. I got them 10-2. And this was, I mean, Ohio State is a tough one because, yes, they are so talented across the board. And I actually think I was saying this last year, so I'm gonna double down this year. They will be better offensively under Dwayne Haskins than they were under JT Barrett.
Sure.
Like, he allows them to do more things. I think he opens up the opportunity for some of those other skill players to take a step forward. And, man, do they ever have skill talent and talent across the board, really, on offense that's ready to take the next step. It's, for me, it's just that the Big Ten is so good. And when you're looking at a TCU game in Arlington, you're looking at Penn State, you're looking at a home stretch that includes Nebraska, at Michigan State, Michigan. It's just that the conference is good enough where I think it's hard to assume 11 wins. And I can see 11 wins. I can see 12-0. I mean, they have a 12-0 ceiling for sure. But I think 10-2 feels safer to me than 11-1, given what they've got to go through and given what those teams look like. Like, this is a bet on Michigan.
Mm.
It's a I'm like, this is a little foreshadowing of my Michigan play. Like,
yeah.
Michigan's going to get Ohio State eventually. If you think that Urban Meyer just will forever indefinitely be, you know, dominate Jim Harbaugh, I don't see that. Harbaugh's going to get one at some point. And this is a team at Michigan that's I think, made up of a roster that can get it. Michigan State, really good. You know, Nebraska is capable. At Penn State, that's a tough road game. So this is a kind of as much gut as anything. It's not a lot of analytics. There's not a lot of like, oh, I've got concerns with any one area on this roster.
No.
This is good across the board. This is just a gut of Ohio State's. This feels like 10-2.
My notes say Penn State and I'm given that Ohio State Penn State game in Happy Valley. When you think like Ohio State, like that was the comeback to win last year. That game was won. Penn State wins in 2016, basically has the game won in 2017. Ohio State comes back to win 39-38. Like, to me, on a down-to-down basis, the Nittany Lions have kind of had the Buckeyes' number.
Even in 2014, it took double overtime for Ohio State to win that one.
So I'm giving that one. I'm saying Penn State, I think, wins that game. So now we've got Ohio State down to 11-1. And then it's the TCU game in Arlington, Michigan State, Nebraska, and Michigan. Though, again, I hate that we always are foreshadowing. I feel pretty good that Ohio State should be able to beat Nebraska, but I'm just not putting it past Ohio State or the rest of the Big Ten for us not to catch one more surprising play here. My confidence level is not low. I'm not saying lock up a 10-2 season for Ohio State.
This is a stay away. This is a stay away sure. win total to me. I wouldn't touch Ohio State's win total because it could go over.
Yeah, this is going to be another. This is the one place in the country where I'm looking and I'm saying, you know what? I think we could have a two loss team in the college football playoff because we still haven't had it. But
right.
The Big Ten is good enough, and Ohio State could be that 10-2 team, you know. And so I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. And I'm also interested. I can't believe that we're both going under here, but man, that's the Buckeyes. I like the way you said it. The Buckeyes have a 12-0 ceiling, and yet you're sitting here looking at the win total, and you're like, man, that's too tough. There's no way that they're going to go undefeated through that stretch. No way.
Count them up.
All right, let's keep it rolling with Wisconsin. This number's set at 10. Tough games include at Iowa, at Michigan, at Penn State, at Purdue. The Badgers are coming off arguably one of their best seasons ever a year ago. The defense was absolutely lights out. They lose a few of those guys, but they should still be good. Jonathan Taylor going to be in the mix as one of the top running backs in the country and potentially a Heisman Trophy caliber player. We talked about Jonathan Taylor a lot on this podcast, not under-recruited, but certainly not touted to be what he has become as he was coming out of high school in New Jersey. What's your call on the Badgers?
Well, I'm. This is another one in terms of the way I approached picking these. I have not looked at the win totals until you're telling them to me right now. So,
oh, that's fun.
I pick my totals, and then I'll be surprised every time you give me the number. And I think this 10.5 would have been what I expected out of Wisconsin. 10, I think, is a good, safe number to go over, only because I have a hard time seeing them only win 9. Their non-con is still pretty easy, but they do get at Penn State and at Michigan in conference this year, and those could very well be two losses. I've got them splitting those two games.
Me too.
I've got them 11-1, splitting against Michigan and Penn State, winning the rest, because ultimately this is still like the 9 starters back on offense, probably the best offensive line in the country. Even the guys that return on defense that aren't considered returning starters, like Andrew Van Ginkle, Isaiah Loudermilk, Garrett Rand, like those guys are really good up front. They have TJ Edwards at linebacker. They've always got a couple of like undersized Florida dudes in the back end, which they've got once again in the defensive backfield.
Like the future Dakota Dixon, whoever the next Dakota Dixon guy is.
Right, yeah. Dante Carrier-Williams, is a good option there. He's a Florida cat. Those guys always play well on the back end. And so this is just, you don't have to worry about, I don't think you have to worry about 9-3. They may not win. They may not be a national title contender. They might be, but I'm saying they might not be, but you don't have to worry about them like regressing to 9-3, even though they're playing Penn State and Michigan. So I really trust Paul Christ. I really trust this offense to know who they are. I really trust this defense to absorb some losses and still be really good. I feel good saying this will be no worse than a push, and so my pick is over.
I think we are in an era where Wisconsin is an elite program.
Yes. Like don't get it twisted. Like this team is a national title contender. That is my opinion.
But that's the thing is like, and that's where it's I approach college football and I've got sort of the tiers, and just because you are the qualifications for an elite program are not to me the same in a particular year of being a national championship contender. To me, an elite program represents, you know, windows of success. And I think that right now we are in a high point for Wisconsin football, a storied program that's had multiple high points over the years. But I think we're in one right now. And when you are in that period, you just don't expect, like, I guess I would say my official ruling might be pushed over, but right. I'm no chance. I'm picking against Wisconsin in a sense that I think they're going to go 9-3.
And by the way, the pass game will be improved too. Like Quintez Cephas is a really good player. AJ Taylor, Danny Davis had a big true freshman year.
Yep.
5 touchdown receptions. Like they've got a lot of guys coming back then catch the ball. And there's some issues. Alex Hornibrook is not an elite quarterback in college football, but I think you can look around the country and see some of the other is Alex Hornibrook less capable than, say, Kelly Bryant last year? Different type of players, but I don't think that their capability is drastically different.
The way Wisconsin's built, it's not asking its quarterback to go win a football game.
Right, right. So I don't think he lowers. Look, I think if another quarterback, if they had a better quarterback there, then we're talking about Wisconsin as a national, like a college football playoff favorite. I would be surprised if they weren't in it. But that's the one thing holding them back from being like a legitimate national championship favorite. I think they're still a national championship contender even with him.
Count them up!
As we move on to our next team, especially considering the way that we seem to both be calling this so far, Penn State. Penn State's number set at 9.5. I tell you what, like there might be, and you know this Penn State team really, really well. So I'm counting on you to sort of take us into the personnel. But as I'm sort of coming at this from the idea that this Penn State team is probably a little bit overlooked, that Trace McSorley can be an All-American kind of performer at the quarterback position. And in terms of like when the schedule cycle breaks your way, being able to seize that opportunity and take advantage of it, particularly when Penn State has been winning double-digit games but not playing for that Big Ten title. Well, look at the schedule this year because you've got Ohio State, Michigan State, and Wisconsin all coming to Happy Valley. 9.5, I felt really comfortable going over.
That's interesting. Really comfortable going over. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're hovering in the 9-10 win echelon. So I picked under. I picked 9-3. but this is a stay away team for me because I think you're right. Like, look, they have 3 starters returning on defense. So at first glance, like there's a bunch of more anonymous names. Jason Kabinda's gone. Marcus Allen, who's been a big playmaker for them, gone. Christian Campbell, Manny Bowen. Like there are some guys that they're losing. But, you know, Sharif Miller is going to take a big step forward as a returning starter, as an edge rusher. They've got, like, Amani Oruwariye is a kid that is expected to be an NFL guy at corner. John Reed has that kind of potential as well. So I think that this is going to be kind of a referendum season on James Franklin's, I think, in a positive light. Like, they don't have to have a bunch of guys that you've heard of in order for those next guys to take a step forward and become impact players, because they've now been in this program long enough, recruited at a high enough level, developed. There shouldn't be a big drop off despite losing guys like Saquon Barkley and Deshaun Hamilton and those types. And yet, like, you mentioned all those teams they've got at home, but they've got Wisconsin. I mean, that's Wisconsin and Iowa. You know, those are their cross conference games, and so it's just a rough schedule to me. I've got them losing to Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. I could see that number drop to 2. I could see them drop to 1 because they do have home matchups with them. It's hard for me to get over 10 wins. Remember, Ricky Ronnie is their new offensive coordinator. So, you know, will there be drop off with Joe Moorhead gone? How much was Saquon Barkley impacting the football when he wasn't touching it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
How much was he impacting defensive scheme? And will Miles Sanders draw that kind of attention or close to it? So I couldn't get to 10. I could see them getting to 10 or 11. But I couldn't get there. I think 9-3, and yet I would be shocked if it was any lower than 9 wins.
I think
that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm giving Penn State the Ohio State win. I'm saying that for Penn State, the Michigan game is a loss. And then basically between Michigan State and Wisconsin, thinking that they win one and lose one. So that's my 10-2.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about my 10-2 is, if I'm giving them the head-to-head win against Ohio State, then I might be giving Penn State the division.
Sure. Yeah. That's what's going to be – like, I hadn't even done the geometry on all that, like the calculus on all that. Like, it's going to be splitting hairs. It's going to be another wild, like, tiebreaker type of season in the Big Ten East. I don't even know who I've got winning the division. I haven't. But they're all going to be right there at 11-1, 10-2, 9-3 range between about 4 different teams. So
yeah,
this should be fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of college football fans don't know that the Big Ten East tiebreakers actually come down to how many yellow cards you got in group play. all right, so this team, 11 wins in 2016. 11 wins in 2017, top 10 finishes both years, big time Rose Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, big time appearances, but they still haven't gotten to that Big Ten championship game. That's kind of what has me like, I don't know, man. Like Tennessee wins the national championship after Peyton leaves. Like just one of those weird circumstantial type things that we see every now and then in college football where it's in the superstars gone sometimes, but everything else that was still there and a part of the success, that as they take that next step forward with the right opportunities, things just break their way.
I'm not sure there's another conference in the country where I would have them at 9 wins. Like, I think that because that's how good I think they are, and then that's how good I think the Big Ten and the Big Ten East is.
Count them up!
Michigan's number is set at 9.
That's surprising.
Then it's going to be even more surprising that I'm a push to under.
All right, you go first.
I got Michigan State, Ohio State, and then Wisconsin / Penn State as my L's. The idea that I think Michigan goes 9. I think this is a 9-3 season. But Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin / Penn State, like across those four, I think there's probably 3 losses. I've got Ohio State winning the game at the end of the year. And then I've got Notre Dame and Nebraska's swing games. And I just think that if I'm looking at 6 games where Michigan, in my eyes, is not a definite favorite, that, you know, expecting him to win about half of them seems about right. I do agree that, like, it doesn't look like the roster of an 8-4 team at all. But I do think that 9-3 is probably about right. And what, you know, how Michigan fans even talk about this game, this season and this team is going to depend on what happens against Michigan State and Ohio State. Like if they're 9-3, but they beat Michigan State and Ohio State, it's a very different conversation than if they go 9-3 and the losses are, you know, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State. So it sort of cuts a lot of different ways in terms of perception. But in terms of what the hard, you know, win total count is, I just really struggled giving Michigan the edge in all of those games that I view as a little bit closer to toss up, or giving them the edge in enough of them to call 10-2.
Okay, this is all right. This is my favorite pick of the Big Ten so far. 9 wins. I'm obviously
at 11.
I'm on the over. I'm 11-1, and I think, to me, there is a misrepresentation or a misperception of Michigan in that, like, somehow last year's season created this sort of narrative that Jim Harbaugh is underachieving at Michigan. Let's remember, like, they went from 5-7 to 10-3 in his first year. In 2016, they lost by 1 point at Iowa, Kinnick Stadium. Like, we know how tough that is. And then they lost at Ohio State in double overtime by 3 points. And that's it. That's all they lost in the regular season. Like, that's, they're literally a play or two away from being undefeated. And I know that the losses count and they're there, but how differently do we look at this team if they get a couple of those plays and they're 2 seasons removed from undefeated and in the college football playoffs. So I think that when we look at last year and we think about everybody that they lost to the NFL draft before last season, we look at the quarterback's play, which was horrible until Brandon Peters got in there, and then it got a little bit manageable. Like, I think last year, I mean, aside from the Penn State game, like, there was no reason. Like, they were very competitive in every game they played. So, all right, now we flip the switch to this season, and they have, I think you can make a very reasonable argument that this is the best defense in college football. I'm not saying it is, but I think you could make a very reasonable argument that it is.
Sure.
Now you got 8 starters back on offense. You got Shea Patterson coming up, who totally changed. Like, no matter how good you think Shea Patterson is, he's dramatically better than what they've had at quarterback since Jim Harbaugh's been there. And even I would even include Jake Ruduck. And so you also have and so you just assume Michigan's going to have, you know, they've got Caron Higdon back. They've got Chris Evans back, who's sort of the all-purpose back in that backfield. But also, I think the idea that Tariq Black returns and Donovan Peoples-Jones in year 2, when those guys as true freshmen were basically the best receivers on the team, like, that, I think that shifts things up a notch offensively. Offensive line will be good with Cesar Ruiz stepping into center spot, Michael Nwinu. Like, I just look at this roster and I say, this is a really good team, and they've got Wisconsin at home, they've got Penn State at home, and Ohio State is a rivalry game. You know, you just sort of throw the records out, and so I think that they can win in the shoe there. I just think that people are all of a sudden looking at 1-8-5 season and acting like Jim Harbaugh can't coach. And I think this will be a national title contending team.
I think that there is a great opportunity with Michigan right now. And you know, we have fun with this with win totals because you're setting the number based on the odds maker's prediction, but also on, you know, what the market is. And Michigan's probably a Joe Public team. They probably get a lot of action, but there is a very palpable taste in the air that people are kind of backing off. And I think that you and I did a decent job of balancing Michigan's frustrations last year with the reminder that this wasn't like that. We kept saying, you know, next year's the year, next year's the year. But I find myself arriving at next year, which is going to be the year. And Barton, like, it's not as much I'm down on Michigan. I just am high on everybody else.
And that's look, I get that, because you, I'm not saying it's a, I'm not saying that to pick an under is like some sort of dumb play, only because I think the rest of the division, like, they could lose to Notre Dame. Sure. They could lose to Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State, and Ohio State. Like, those are all losable games.
And they could still be one of the best teams in the country and lose all those games.
But I think the thing that, that I point to is, like, let's remind ourselves what we were saying last year. Is we were saying, this time last year, we were saying, this shouldn't be a great Michigan team because they're so young. But, man, remember when Ohio State won the national championship a year before we thought they were supposed to? So, like, last year was, we were granting, like, last year was the year before they're supposed to be national title contenders, but maybe they'll surprise us. And you know what? They didn't surprise us. They were what we thought they were supposed to be, but that doesn't change what this year's team is supposed to be. Like, suddenly, like, doing what was expected last year has tarnished what this team can be for so many people. So I'm in the camp of, like, I'm going to stick to my guns and remember what I was saying this time last year, and saying 2018 is the year for Michigan, and maybe they'll even surprise us this year and show up a year early.
Right. So and that's
now
what I
think
schedule. There's,
they're back on schedule, and they're going to win at least 10. So I feel good on picking the over at least getting them to 10-2.
That's almost like a trust the process thing, right? Like, if you believed that 2018 was going to be Michigan's year last August, stick to your guns, because the public's opinion on that has obviously changed with this number being set at 9. You stick to your guns, Michigan doesn't even have to win the Big Ten, and you could end up hitting your over at 10-2.
Yep.
Count them up!
Man, this is so... And now here we go with another one.
How many games are going to win this fall?
Michigan State. You tell me what you got here. Because, man, these numbers blow in my mind. I don't even... Like, I don't know how the calculus works on the odds makers and all of these being able to hit. What'd you get for Michigan State?
My record... For Michigan State, my projected record is 10-2.
Sick. Michigan State's
total?
Number 9.
Interesting.
I'm at push over. I think
I'm at, yeah, I could, like, I think that's not, 9's probably about what I expected, honestly. 9, maybe 9.5. Just sort of 9.5 to just sort of tempt people to take that under. And but I think, like, I have them losing at Penn State, mm-hmm. and I have Nebraska upsetting them late in the year at Nebraska. I have them as the second loss for Ohio State. That's a home game. I have them as the only loss for Michigan. So pretty, like, I have a pretty dang good year. This is like Mark D'Antonio's got a quarterback. He's got 9 starters returning on defense. Basically everyone returning on offense. He's got a physical downhill back in LJ Scott. He's weathered the storm in terms of the off-field stuff that came after that 3-9 year. I mean, that last year got them, like, if last year was another bad year, even like a 6-6 year, which I think was possible, then all of a sudden I think you can look at Michigan State and be like, they are
it's come and gone.
The D'Antonio area is declined.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what happened. They went 10-3 last year. And so now you got to wonder, like, why would we assume they're going to dip back to 8-4 after returning 19 starters and one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten, if not college football? So
whoa. Brian Lewerke?
Well, okay, that's overstating it.
Okay.
All right, that's overstating it. Not yet. But, like, would you be shocked if, given Michigan State's track record at quarterback, if, I mean, the guy last year, he had almost 600 yards rushing and almost 3,000 yards passing, and that was sort of his first full workload. Would you be shocked if, given Michigan State's track record of Elm quarterbacks, if he took that step forward this year and became – one of the top arms in the college football? I wouldn't. I'm not saying he is right now before the season, but it wouldn't shock me if we looked up at the end of the year and Brian Lewerke is the guy heading into 2019 with the first round mocks attached to his name.
I feel like Michigan State played in two games last season where the weather was such that you couldn't even attempt a downfield pass, and look who has the big thick quarterback who can run. You know,
And I remember Lewerke from high school as just he was a high three star, you know. But Michigan State they sprinkle something on these guys, and they turn them into NFL prospects. And so Lewerke's big and he's athletic, and it wouldn't shock me if Michigan State runs him through the Michigan State machine. And all of a sudden we look up and Brian Lewerke is on that tier. So you're right to call me out. Right. Like I shouldn't overstate it, but they have a really good quarterback.
Yes.
Under center and 19 starters returning. So I don't think this is an 8-4 team. I think it's a much more likely a 10-2 plus.
There are going to be so many fourth quarter, fourth downs converted by Brian Lewerke that are going to end up getting an otherwise like they won 10 games last year, but when you watched Michigan State on a down by down basis, did it look like a 10 win team?
But that's always Michigan State. Like that's always Michigan State. I mean, when they were 13-1, you know, they beat USF 21-6. They beat Iowa 26-14. They beat Minnesota 14-3. Like that's who Michigan State is. And so I'm not saying it's going to be a pretty 10-2. I'm just saying I trust 10-2 more than I trust 8-4.
And again, to revisit, like I really like Brian Lewerke, and I think that Michigan State is 9-3 or 10-2. I'm with you. No, I don't. I'm pushed over, and I say don't for a second feel confident if you take an under that you're going to be able to find four losses. And you're going to be really frustrated watching Brian Lewerke convert all these fourth and shorts as you end up taking your L and, you know, ripping up your ticket in the middle of October.
Count them up!
Then there's that's sort of the top tier. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, all numbers between 10.5 and 9. We take a step down. Iowa's number, they are next in line, is at 7.5. For me, when I was counting them up, Iowa State was my swing game, and I'm giving that one to the Cyclones. I know that game is going to be at Iowa, but I've just got a little bit more faith in Iowa State than I do in the Hawkeyes right now. And so I'm thinking that this is an under, and maybe an under I'm feeling pretty confident. Again, in my count, I've got it 7-5, mostly because of the Iowa State game. But is there something about the Hawkeyes that I'm missing that should lead me to believe? And you know, just to let you know, they're a full win and a half over the next bunch. And the way that I see the Big Ten, they are much closer to the middle pack than they are to the top, and maybe don't deserve this sort of second tier status that they're taking right now in the eyes of the odds makers.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa has a little bit of that Michigan State vibe to them where you may not have a great feel for the personnel because they just all look kind of the same, but they always figure out a way. I think the things – so positive for Iowa, I think Nathan Stanley is an NFL quarterback. I think he's really good and I think he will be really good. Like he showed flashes of it last year, not as on the consistent basis you probably want, but he showed flashes of it last year, and I think you'll see a step forward this year. So that's one. On the flip side of that, I happen to be a probably like unusually inordinately big Akram Wadley fan last year. Like I thought he did some pretty awesome stuff for them, creating explosive plays, making big plays out of the backfield. He's gone, and the running backs they have to replace him are a little bit more anonymous to me. Like just sort of typical, just, hey, they'll get what the offensive line gives you. They're not going to get more than that. That said, I think the offensive line is really good. I think the replacements on defense are really good. Guys like Christian Welch, Cedric Lattimore, A.J. Epenesa is taking a big step forward as a sophomore. He was a five-star, that true freshman that really played a lot. Manny Rugamba's transferring. Like that, I think that stings a little bit. So there keeps on being these, like, it's a positive, and there's a, for every positive, there's a negative. For every negative, there's a positive. And so I have them over at 8-4, but I also have them winning Iowa State game, which is a very much a losable game. You know, I've got them, like, I've got some games like losing at Purdue. I got them losing at Indiana, and then I've got them beating Northwestern and beating Nebraska. And so there's all these, they're sort of like the Big 12 where there's all these coin flips. And so I'll go 8-4, and I'm on the record with the over, but I would stay away. That will not be on the Locks Pod.
Count them up!
Scott Frost apologist Barton Simmons is going to be going over for Nebraska. The number is 6. Tell me you've got them at 8-4.
I've got them over. I don't get them to 8 wins.
Okay, got them to 7-5.
I got them to 7-5.
All right.
The number, you said the number 6?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Frost is too good not to figure out a way to get to 7. And in my 7, I include upset over Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I include a win over Colorado, which is not a given. I include a win over Troy, which is not a given. And I include a win over Purdue, which will be a tough game, even though it's at home. So, you know, but I do think this is a team that's good enough to get an upset somewhere along the way, whether it's Michigan State, whether it's Ohio State, Northwestern will probably be favored, whether it's at Wisconsin, even at Michigan, like all those teams need to strap it up. Like, I think this is the type of team that can give those teams trouble. I think Michigan State's the most likely to sort of leave the door open there just from a talent perspective. I wonder if they'll be able to run with a Michigan or an Ohio State from a talent level.
I've got, especially this year, I've got at Michigan, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, loss. I, like you, was willing to give them Akron, Troy, Colorado, and Illinois. And then, man, I don't know. That whole middle, like, I cannot tell you right now, until I see these teams take the field, I can't tell you whether a young Minnesota team is going to be grown up, or whether whether Scott Frost is going to be able to feel, like, I don't know exactly who's going to be favored there. And maybe you could say the same for Purdue. Like, Purdue's going to be good on offense, but they've got some concerns on defense. And guess what? If Nebraska's offense is all Scott Frosted and humming, then that's going to be a challenge. So I kind of landed at push, and that's, you know, I guess lame in a way, but it's the bonus being, I think Scott Frost figures out a way to get this team to a bowl game. They get those wins early so that they're in the mix, the Akron, Troy, Colorado, Illinois, and then they just get to somewhere, whether that's Purdue and Minnesota, or, you know, maybe it is a Michigan State. I don't know where, but I think that for the first year of Scott Frost at Nebraska, it is going to be easy to say that, you know, let's get to a bowl game is going to be an achievable goal, and the motivating factors behind that goal and what leads to that, I think, is able to get them to 6. I would not take the under.
All right. So here, yeah, setting us on an even number like 6 makes this an easy call for me. And here's let me pitch you on why this is an easy bet to play the over or stay away, I guess. But I actually like the over. I like that a losing ticket has to get to 5 to 7 losses, basically. Because here's the deal. Offensively, the pieces are in place for Nebraska to be really good. Like, when you think of the guys that they inherited, Tyson Lindsey, J.D. Spielman, space freaks. Like, you put those guys in space, and they're really, really good. And this is what that offense does. It's built for guys like that. Stanley Morgan, one of the best receivers in the Big Ten. All right, so they'll be able to get him the ball. They got a JUCO transfer in Greg Bell, who's one of the best junior college running backs in the country. So you think, like, that provides some instant help. And they've got a few other backs that can add depth at the running back core that have been there as well. All right, now at quarterback. I don't know who's going to start. They've got a really talented true freshman. He's the most athletic of the bunch. But Tristan Jebbia is like a gym rat type of quarterback that will be able to effectively run the offense if he's the starter. And then they even have a third guy, Andrew Bunch, who's not bad. So my point is, I think the offense is going to be not just like decent. I think it'll be a good offense. Defensively, they returned 8 starters, but it was a really bad defense last year. I don't think Bob Diaco is the best defensive coordinator in the world, and I think that they'll be improved from a coaching staff standpoint. And so if they're just not bad on defense, this team makes a bowl.
Yeah.
All right? So I feel pretty good saying at worst you're going to get a push for Nebraska.
How many games are going to win this fall?
Minnesota's number also set at 6. I mentioned, you know, I've got some questions. You know, there's some confidence among the Minnesota staff that this young team has grown up and they're going to show some real improvement this year. And if I buy that, if I'm willing to buy that narrative, then I look at Minnesota's schedule. And again, the you know, how do you separate Purdue from Minnesota? I don't know. I mean, the game's at Minnesota, so I gave it to them. Then there's the Nebraska game, so I'll give that to Nebraska. But I see at Wisconsin, at Ohio State as the certain losses. And then I start to see a lot of games that could go the Golden Gophers' way. At 6 wins, I'm going over.
Yeah. I went. This is one of these, like, I'm embarrassed at the win total I came up with. I got them at, like, the way I operated in this conference is I picked every game that was played, and I have them winning 4 games.
Oh, wow.
And that's, but like, I think that PJ Fleck is too good of a coach to have them sitting at 4 wins. And granted, I have one of those losses is to Fresno State. So you know what? Let's just cross that out. Give that a W. All right, they're at 5. So 5 wins, and yet I can easily see this being a 7-5 team. I think I trust Fleck. One of my big hangups is I can't get comfortable with the quarterback situation yet. Tanner Morgan, I guess, is your guy, a redshirt freshman. They've also got a really athletic guy, Victor Viramontes, who came from the junior college ranks. I just, like you said, I mean, it was just sort of, this is a lot of the, if you're considering that Nebraska is going to be pretty good this year, or better at least, if you're considering that Maryland is going to finally have a year where they catch some breaks, if you consider that Iowa is good, like Illinois improved, Purdue, like we saw what they were last year. I mean, this is just, Big Ten has just become such a good conference because who's the coach that you can get your easy win and pick against?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like in the SEC,
well, the answer is
you had those
Indiana.
Guys. Like in the Big Ten in the past, you've had those guys. In the Pac-12, hey, like, you know what? Herm Edwards, that's not the guy. Whatever. Like you can find some spots that you can say, I don't believe in this coach. Who's the coach in the Big Ten that you don't believe in? Certainly not PJ Fleck for me. I just stumbled into 4 wins, so I'm going under, but even though I'm 2 wins below their number, I don't feel good about it at all.
Yeah. That's probably one of the that's going to be a battle as some of these teams below Wisconsin start to, you know, as Nebraska, Minnesota, and Purdue. Purdue with Jeff Brohm, Nebraska with Scott Frost, Minnesota with PJ Fleck. There's not enough room for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be some battles that end up deciding whether teams go to bowl games, whether teams are, and hopefully those battles in the future, these coaches hope are to see who wins the Big Ten West and who gets to the Big Ten championship game. But man, I don't know. Well, let's take it to Purdue next.
How many games are going to win this fall?
Purdue. That number is set at 6.
Yeah, I've got them under 2. I've got them at 5-7. So I'm gonna be officially, I'm at Minnesota 5-7, and I'm at under 5. I'm at 5-7 for Purdue 2. I think not only is there a lot of coin flip games with the second tier or third tier of the conference, whatever you want to call it, but you know, hard to find the upset because the top tier of the conference is so good that as much as you might like Purdue, where do you find the upsets up top? Like one, like, okay, I could see this getting to push pretty easily because my big swing game on this schedule is Northwestern opening week. I think Northwestern's got a chance to be pretty good, but it's at home on a Thursday night. So like that, I have a loss for Purdue. That could easily be a win, and then you're sitting at 6-6. Another game I have them losing is Missouri. So right there, two close games in the first 3 weeks. I haven't started 1-2, but they could easily start 3-0. Then all of a sudden, my 5-7 turns to 7-5 real quick. So I still like Purdue. I like the direction. I love Jeff Brohm as a coach. They're recruiting off the charts. Offensively, they'll be really good. Defensively, they'll take a step back probably, which is, I think, where I have them, you know, I have them losing at Minnesota. You know, I have them losing at Nebraska. And I actually have them beating Boston College, who I love. So, like, there is some give and take there. Like, I've granted them some successes here and there, too, but it's just a tough, like, this is tough sledding right now.
I've got, it is all going to depend on the start. I'm going to give them,
seriously, Eastern Michigan, they win, but Northwestern, Missouri, and BC, that could be 1-3, it could be 4-0.
And I think they're 2-2. And I don't know what it's exactly going to be. I lean, that the Missouri, like, I could see it. I'm so high on Boston College right now, and I've been watching A.J. Dillon highlights, by the way, all morning. I'm in a position right now where I think the prime time, you know, the Thursday night, like you mentioned, that's an 8 o'clock, you know, prime time kickoff against Northwestern. I'm going to give them that. And then the Missouri game, just, you know, that ends up – because was it last year's – Missouri-Purdue game where Purdue pantsed them?
Yes, you're right. They did.
Like Jeff Brohm came out and was like, I wish we could have scored more.
Yes, they did. But I'll also remind you, for whatever it's worth, my intel last year on Purdue was, you know, we'll be better than people realize, but next year will be really good. Like, I think, what did I say? Missouri, like, I think Missouri could surprise some people, but absolutely, they could definitely win that game and probably will be favored.
But after that, I mean, it's tough because the teams that I ended up kind of beating up on as I was going through this process were Illinois and Indiana, and Purdue. If I gave them both those wins, but those are both road games, they're not going to be easy wins. But I've got this one at 5-7.
All right, so you're under two.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it's another one where it's like, okay, we are predicting that Jeff Brohm, who I think we probably would both agree is one of the really promising young coaches in college football right now, we're predicting that he's going to miss a bowl year two after making a bowl year one after inheriting a 3-9 team. So, like, we're predicting regression after taking 3-9 team to 7-6. But – again, you just, man, it's a tough schedule and you got to pick some losses somewhere.
I've got, I mean, like some of these, I kind of broke them up into like trimesters, and I kept coming back to 2-2, 1-3 in the middle stretch, and 2-2 to finish. And that's only 5 wins. It's tough.
Yep.
Count them up.
Northwestern, really tough start. We just talked about that game at Purdue. I've got that one as an L. We've talked about Duke in the ACC show. I've got that one as an L. Northwestern, the number is set at 6. I'm going under here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at push. I mean, I'm curious what Clayton Thorson's health looks like heading into the season. You know, this is – I am – the greatest Clayton Thorson apologist of our time, of our generation. I like Clayton Thorson as a quarterback, and yet I like him because of what he can be, and he's not there yet. This was supposed to be the year he got there. And I just hope that ACL injury doesn't like set him back significantly. So I don't know. I mean, I have them 6-6. I haven't beaten Purdue, which they could lose. I haven't losing to Duke. I haven't beaten Nebraska, Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois.
And Akron. Yeah.
So, like, I basically have them winning all the games that they look like they would probably be favored in, I guess. And losing all the games that they would probably be underdogs in. But I just – this is another team where – I mean, what? Pat Fitzgerald. He's a great coach. And they've had 10-win seasons two of the last 3 years. And now we're going to pick them to go 5-7? I don't know. That's hard for me to do. So I think that Clayton Thorson, I'm assuming he's back to himself and the defense will be good again and Nebraska will, you know, win 4 of their last 7 and sneak into a bowl game.
I've got him. I mean, again, I think this is a 1-5 start with Akron as the only win. I think they lose to Purdue, Duke, Michigan State, and Nebraska. You know, you get back on the good side. But man, look at this. Their home finale is going to be November 3rd against Notre Dame. They finished the season on the road at Iowa, at Minnesota, at Illinois. You know, Iowa, who knows if they'll be bowl eligible, but they'll certainly need every win they can get at that point. Same thing goes for Minnesota. This is a really, really tough draw for Northwestern. And as I'm shifting all my different stocks in that Big Ten West, I've got them on the other side, going to 5-7.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. For the ledger, I'm going to officially. I think Purdue wins that Week 1 game. So that makes Purdue 6-6 push. And that makes Nebraska 5-7.
You mean Northwestern?
Northwestern, sorry. Yeah. Because Northwestern does have a tendency to when they kind of regress to the mean, they don't regress to 8-4. They can regress to 5-7. And so I think this is a 5-7 year, despite my guy Clayton Thorson, because you know he's got his top two receivers coming back this year. But those guys didn't impress me last year. Like that was my big thing with Thorson when I watched him early in the year is like, man,
these are receivers.
Find some receivers and get some separation and catch the ball.
Mm.
And I know Jaylen Brown is an Oregon transfer, but I mean he didn't do much last year in limited action. I worry about the skill on offense, and I think this is the 5-7 dip. And then given the way they're recruiting, I think they got a chance to be good moving forward in the future. So maybe they have a 10-win season next year. So we'll go 5-7 for me officially. You said that was a 6-win total, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5-7 under.
Count them up!
We dip to the sub-500 win totals. We start with the Indiana Hoosiers. This number is set at 5. Brandon Dawkins arrives from Arizona. We assume that he will be the starting quarterback there. This Indiana team at times can be very exciting offensively. I'm not betting on that. I'm going Indiana under.
Under 5?
Yeah, I got them 4-8.
I've got them 5-7. And even in the off, even in the non-conference, like at FIU, I think will not be an easy game. Virginia will not be a no doubt win.
Ball State will be a win.
Ball State should be a win. Rutgers will be improved. They got to go at Rutgers. Like they're going to beat somebody this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Like this is one of those teams that wears, you know, you got to find losses on the schedule across the board. I have 5-7, just because I do think Tom Allen is another coach that I really. And I'm not going to say this about every conference. I just happen to believe all these Big Ten coaches are good.
So you're in on Tom Allen.
I mean, I think he's still got something to prove. And so, but I'm optimistic on Tom Allen. I wouldn't say I'm in on Tom Allen in the same way that I'm in on, say, Jeff Brohm.
I'm not betting. I don't have Tom Allen on my list of coaches that I'm going to pick against for the locks. But when you asked that question earlier, like that's
where are you going to find your wins?
Yeah, I was like Tom Allen and Lovie Smith.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll go 5-7, with the expectation that they pick somebody off, like an Iowa, for example. But I mean, I think I've got them losing the last five games of the year. Losing to Penn State, losing at Minnesota on a Friday night, losing to Maryland, losing at Michigan, losing to Purdue.
Speaking of coaches that people, yeah, I've got them under 2. I've got them 4-8.
How many games are going to win this fall?
Coaches that I feel like I want to get behind, but when it comes to, you know, totaling up these win totals, it gets really, really tough, especially when you're living in the Big Ten East. The Maryland Terrapins and DJ Durkin, you know, they have, like, it has spanned multiple coaches, the kind of calamity that the Terps have on the injury front. I mean, remember a couple years ago where they were starting the former second string linebacker at quarterback by the end of the season? And then we go through it again last year, even from the get-go with that incredible Texas game. This number is set at 4.5. And I'm going over. I've got them at 5-7. And I almost, like, I wanted it to think that with a full season of not facing that those kinds of injury issues, that Maryland would be able to get to a bowl game. But in there's too many losses against division and conference opponents for me. I think they can get, you know, Bowling Green, Temple, Rutgers, Illinois, and Indiana. Those are my 5 wins, 5-7. Over, but short of a bowl season.
At some point, the luck's got to turn. And I think the luck turns this year. I've got them getting to a bowl. I've got them 6-6. I think, look, whoever ends up at quarterback is going, if it's Kasim Hill or Tyrell Pigrome, those guys, they can beat teams with those guys. I mean, we saw in the Texas game, like you said. I mean, that was who they should have been last year. And then those guys got hurt. I think defensively, like, who knows what Byron Coward is, but that's the former 5-star transfer from Auburn. Like, it's his time to prove a lot of people wrong or to validate his ranking. I think Jesse Antibonham is potentially a really good player. I think DJ Durkin has been dealt some really bad hands. Even loses Walt Bell this year. But guess what? They got Matt Canada, who I think is a lot better than Ed Orgeron thinks he is. And so I think that they get to 6 with Bowling Green, Temple, Minnesota at home, Rutgers at home, Illinois at home, at Indiana. That's a very winnable 6 games. There is nothing outlandish in that pick, and I don't think it's against the. I don't think it's crazy to think they could snipe somebody along the way in addition to those. So I'm going to say DJ Durkin gets off the snide, gets a little luck, and gets the 6 wins this year.
I like your call there. And in the games you just mentioned, I had all of them but Minnesota. And I gave Minnesota the other way, and it would not surprise me at all if that one goes Maryland's way. And, man, it would be huge for the Terps if they are able to get it done and get to a bowl season. Again, 4.5, Maryland's number. We are both going over. Barton calling 6-6, Chip calling 5-7.
Count them up!
The Scarlet Knights, 4 is the number. I see 5 wins.
Really?
But it's a push. It kind of depends again on Indiana and Illinois. They get Indiana and Illinois at home, but Texas State and Kansas have to be wins for Rutgers. Buffalo.
Yeah, so does Buffalo, by the way. Like, Buffalo's got some players on offense.
But that's all I was saying. Texas State and Kansas have to be wins. Like, Rutgers has got to win those. I think Buffalo's more of. I don't think Rutgers losing to Buffalo is the upset of the century.
Okay, I got you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, if I've got Indiana, Illinois, both those games at home, and then Texas State, Kansas, and Buffalo, I'm looking at those and I'm like, all right, those are 5 games that Rutgers can go out and get, And I'm going to say between the Indiana, Illinois, you know, or maybe Buffalo, out of those three, they lose one. So my gut says 4-8, but because I've got five games that I see are winnable for Rutgers, I may push to over.
I picked under. I picked three wins. And I don't – this is another one. This is three wins, and I like to think they're going to be better than they were last year. I think they'll be improved. But, I mean, if Artur Sitkowski is their true freshman starting quarterback, I don't have a – like, I think that dude's going to walk in every room in America and be looking like the biggest, strongest guy there, and you're going to say, who the hell is that? And yet, when the bullets are flying, I have questions about him, particularly starting as a true freshman. So that worries me a little bit, because that's sort of – he seems to be who's penciled in there. John Hillman, who transferred from BC, I think is actually a really good back, or potentially a really good back anyways. They've got some good players on offense, and like Bo Melton, who played as a true freshman. So there's a lot of reasons to think this team would be improved. I have them with three wins. And I guess now that you mention it, like that is not at all crazy to think they get to five. So I'm under on the record. Not.
You're not going thumbs down. Like, no, Rutgers, right. Get that out of here.
Right. My reaction to your pick is actually like that was an overreaction. Or my reaction to you saying five wins, that was an overreaction, because you're right. They could absolutely get to five wins.
But that's it. It is a hard
to find more than that.
Hard ceiling that I'm drawing right there.
Count them up!
And wrapping up the Big Ten, Illinois at 3.5. No favors here as they even get South Florida in the non-con. My question as we introduce this is, where does Illinois get a Big Ten win?
Their number's 3.5, you said?
Yeah.
Well, look, I think Rutgers is winnable. I think Minnesota at home is winnable. I think that they find a conference win or two.
They need two conference wins to hit this over, unless you've got them beating USF,
which I think is not out of the question. Okay. I think that's possible. I mean, they played them fairly close last year. No, they didn't. That's not true. They were coming off a Western Kentucky win last year where I thought they would play them close, and they didn't.
They did not.
So I think I picked them at 4-8. So I actually have them going over. They played a lot of young guys last year, like a lot of like true freshmen. And while I'm not a – and they also – I think Shaden Metters is a good addition, a transfer from App State. I'm a little worried about their quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
But – here's the deal. I still think Lovie Smith and this staff are good coaches. Do I think that Lovie Smith is a great college head coach in terms of the recruiting and the PR and the like fan engagement that has to go with that job? No, I'm not there yet. Well, I think in terms of if you got similar players on the same field, I think Lovie Smith can put together a game plan and his staff can put together a game plan to where they can pick somebody off. So I've got them at 4-8. I got them over. And another one it's not a home run.
I've got them 3-9. I'll give them a one Big Ten game, but I think it's 2-1 in the non-con, 1-8 in Big Ten, and I don't think that they're going to be favored in a single Big Ten game. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's real tough. I mean, what's like, do you think that Lovie Smith is, because there was a lot of consternation among Illinois fans when Dennis Dodd kind of put Lovie on the hotter end of the hot seat in his hot seat rankings.
They didn't like that, huh?
No, because the AD has come out and talked about how he's, you know, knows this is a long game and you know, voice of support and everything else. Like, I don't know. It's Illinois football. It's weird.
I don't think he's earned a hot seat right now. Like I don't think his seat should be hot. But this year he needs to show some improvement. I mean, this is third year. So if they're 10-2 again, or 10-2 and 10 again, then what do you got? I mean, a lot of coaches can do better than that. I'm sorry, like he didn't inherit a total cesspool. I mean, they went to a bowl game 2 years before he got there.
Right.
So
we were dealing with conduct. We were dealing with the coach's conduct at the heart of his arrival. It was not like a program that had bottomed out with multiple 2-win seasons.
Right. They were still trying. They're still, I mean, I know they had, he kind of dealt with inheriting a interim situation to where, they had, I guess there was not sure how much recruiting was done in that sort of purgatory period, but you would think that they've got it. And look, we'll talk about SEC next week, but like Keyshawn Vaughn is going to be the starting running back at Vanderbilt. Really good player that they just sort of ran off. Mm. I think he's a really good player. We'll find out. But like, there's some questions I have about him as a head coach, and yet as a football coach, I still think he's probably pretty good. So, I think they could figure out 4 wins.
4-8. That's it, man. Big Ten in the books. Great work, Barton. Just like applying all the logic, applying all the symmetry.
Level-headed picks on this pod.
Level-headed picks. I'm really proud of us. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Please go review, rate, subscribe. 5-star reviews, because we are giving you that 5-star top caliber of content. The SEC is up next. That will be followed by Group of Five and Notre Dame, which will be followed by the locks. So that's what you have to look forward to. Subscribers get the episodes first, as always. Barton, thank you very much.
There.